A strong biblical foundation is the baseline for Christian growth. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to build on principles from God's Word.
This is exactly what God is saying to us. Don't get too close to the edge. Why is it that so many Baptists want to know, how close can I get to sin and it's still okay? How much of this show can I watch? How much of this can I do? And how close can I get to the world and it's still okay? Whatever happened to the idea of let's just stay far away from it?
Spiritual discipline sounds great in theory, but putting it into practice takes time and determination. In our series, Building Below the Baseline, Pastor Chappell illustrates the importance of building the part of life that no one else sees, but God. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our churches and homes today need Christians willing to build their lives on eternal truth rather than worldly trends. Our series today is designed to give us practical lessons that will help us pursue a life marked by biblical wisdom. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Building a Spirit-Filled Life.
Warren and Pat Adams lost a house in Hurricane Rita in 2005. So when they started over, they decided to reinforce their house as much as possible. They attached a 14-foot tall support beam, which would lift the house 22 feet about above normal sea level to withstand the surge. They built their foundation deeper than any of the neighbors so that when Hurricane Ike hit in 2008, it was the only house standing for miles to be seen. I just want you to stop and think about the fact that one family in the neighborhood decided that they would put their foundations twice as deep as the other families. They decided that they would raise up their pillars several feet higher than the other families. They took a little time. They spent, no doubt, a little more money. But how many of you would agree with me that when the storm came, it made all the difference? It made all the difference. I want to tell you tonight that building below the baseline will make all the difference. I want to tell you tonight that spiritual storms are coming our way and that trials and difficulties come our way. But that if we take the time, like we're doing tonight, to learn about the hidden parts of the Christian life, that when the storms come, your life will still be standing, your marriage will still be intact, you will be faithful to the things of God if you take care to build below the baseline. And so tonight, as we approach this next subject of walking in the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit, it is a part of the Christian life that no one else will see. But it is a part of the Christian life that will help you to stand against the storms that will come our way. Tonight we learn about another aspect of the heart. We learn about a life that is filled with the Holy Spirit. And by our own human nature, we have an innate desire to control our own lives and our own destinies. Normally, we do not want to yield to something or to someone else, as in the case of the Holy Spirit. Most of us have a very proud, autonomous spirit. Sometimes we're even told by someone in authority to do this or to do that. And we think we know better, or we have an argumentative spirit. And we understand that somewhat at the human level. But it is completely unacceptable when it comes to the commandment we're about to study tonight, when it says in the Scriptures that we're to be filled by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we may not always have control over our circumstances or events, but we can prepare by building below the baseline in order that we might have the right response when the storms come into our life. When the spiritual hurricanes and battles of life come upon us, you'll be able to tell who had been preparing for those moments. You'll be able to tell who had that walk of prayer, who was dying to self. You'll be able to tell who was walking in the Spirit. A lot of times you don't know where someone's Christian life is, where their depth really is, until the storm comes. Now, nobody has to doubt that the Adams built a wonderful structure, a thought-out structure, a well-grounded structure. It's obvious by the fact that their house is still standing. And no one will know where your faith and mine is until the storms come into their life. And as the storms come into their life, if they're still in their Sunday school class, if they're still with their husband or wife, if they're still singing Amazing Grace, if they're still giving joy, it will be an evidence that they had something going on below the baseline before the storm ever came. You see, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and long-suffering. And you'll always be able to tell whether someone is really building below the baseline by the way they respond when the storms come into their life. And so tonight, I want to speak to you about this matter of being filled below the baseline. Now notice in our text tonight, there is a Spirit-filled path that we must all take as believers. There is a Spirit-filled path. The Bible says in verse number 15, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Galatians 5:16 says it this way, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." You see, by the word walk, we mean by the way one conducts their life, by the way one lives out their life. God says, "I want you to walk or live in my Spirit." Now, the path that is mentioned in verse 15, "See then that ye walk circumspectly." It is a path of caution. Here the Lord is reminding us to walk circumspectly, which means not giving occasion to stumbling. It means that we are walking with caution. Colossians 4 and verse 5, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time." We must all live with the awareness that a hurricane could come at any moment. And so God is teaching us to be prepared by walking circumspectly, by walking the path of caution, and also by having a path of consecration. The Bible says in verse 17, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." We must understand God's will. We must not be unwise with respect to His will. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3, "For this is the will of God, even our sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." What a blessing to have a wonderful youth ministry here with several youth staff who work with our teens and who challenge them to walk in sanctification and to live with modesty and to live with holiness in their life. And God says that we are to know the will of God, which is our sanctification, that we would possess our vessel, our body, with sanctification and honor. And in this world, which tells young people to live as close to the edge as possible, in this world where we hear of young people playing games, such as a recent game on the internet where teenagers are dared to disappear for 24 to 48 hours from their parents without telling their parents, and in this world of Russian roulette and drinking vodka and acting out all different types of weird and dangerous behaviors, God says to His people, "I want you to stay as far away from danger as you possibly can. I want you to walk circumspectly. I want you to walk in sanctification. I want you to know how to possess your body so that your body's not out of control, but so that you are walking a spiritual pathway with your life." J. Oswald Sanders describes the Spirit-filled walk when he said, "A walk in the Spirit will of necessity be a walk in accordance with the Word the Spirit has inspired." In other words, you'll not walk in the Spirit if you're neglecting the Word of God. You will not walk in the Spirit if you're not feeding on the Word of God. Turn in your Bible, please, to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. I want to show you that no one will walk a spiritual walk if they neglect the Bible. And in this day of technology and media, if our intake is predominantly through the mediums of this world and not through the Word of God, then we're not going to walk in the Spirit. We're going to walk in the flesh. And so notice Colossians 3:16. It helps us to understand this Spirit-filled path. "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now we'll look at the second half of that verse in a moment, but notice the first portion. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Would you say that with me, please? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You see, the spiritual path is a path of caution, walking circumspectly. It's a path of consecration that is redeeming the time because the days are evil. Not being unwise, but understanding what the will of God is. And the will of God is our sanctification. And so in this day of fleshly living, in this day of spring break living, God says, I want my children to have a consecrated pathway for their life. Moms and dads, you ought to know who your children's friends are. You ought to know what kinds of activities they have, even in their home. You ought to understand what the types of shows and what the types of games, and you ought to know what's on your child's iPod and what's going on their phone. And so oftentimes, teenagers get into trouble today in ways that parents don't really understand, because oftentimes it's through this type of media, and we've got to do our part to make sure that they are living a consecrated, sanctified life where the Word of God dwells in them richly. May I exhort you as moms and dads, open the Word of God with your children. Give Bible principles to your children. Feed the spiritual part of their life. Feed the spiritual man. The Bible teaches us, put off the old man, put on the new man. And we've got to feed that spiritual inner man that we might walk in the Spirit. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom. And so the spiritual path is quite different from the carnal path. And it is a different in that we walk circumspectly. We stay away from danger. Back at our family's farm back in Colorado, there's a lot of canyon rims. And when we get around those canyon rims, my wife for years would not let the children anywhere near them. In fact, we would drive all the way to Colorado past the Grand Canyon. I don't know how many times we went past the Grand Canyon. And I would say, honey, you want to swing over and show the kids? No way. She didn't want to go anywhere near it. We finally got to go to the Grand Canyon when all of our children were past age 16. And even then, we kind of stood and said, yep, there it is. And Terry said, let's get back in the car now. She wanted to get back in the car. Because she was walking circumspectly. She didn't want the children too close to the edge. And when we're out at the farm, don't get too close to the rim, she would say. And this is exactly what God is saying to us. Don't get too close to the edge. Why is it that so many Baptists want to know, how close can I get to sin and it's still okay? How much of this show can I watch? How much of this can I drink? How much of this can I do? And how close can I get to the world and it's still okay? Whatever happened to the idea of let's just stay far away from it? You see. Walking circumspectly. Notice the spiritual path. But then notice secondly, the Spirit-filled purpose. The Spirit-filled purpose. Notice in verse 18 now, the Bible says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, notice first of all that there is a determined purpose that is given to the believer here. Be not drunk with wine. Do not become intoxicated with wine. The verb here speaks of living in an ongoing state that is a state of soberness. In order to stay sober, might I suggest that you never drink in the first place. And the Bible says, be not drunk with wine. I've spoken to many people who grew up around alcoholism, and I have been told that many of these children wished that their father, who was an alcoholic, would have never taken the first drink. And there always was fear and apprehension when they saw the first drink going down on a Friday night, because they knew it would lead to another and another, and then to the loud language, and then to the hitting, and then to the abusiveness. You see, it all begins somewhere, and it often begins with that very first drink. Vance Havner once said, I am tired of hearing sin called sickness and alcoholism a disease. It's the only disease I know of that we're spending hundreds of millions of dollars every year to spread. If it's a disease, why are we spending so much money to spread it to the next area and the next neighborhood and the next family. You see, the fact of the matter is that it is a choice. And matters of drinking and drugs are a choice. And people, when they make these choices, can develop habits. And habits can develop various outcomes. And we must recognize in the Word of God there is a specific teaching. Be not drunk with wine. Proverbs 23 and 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of the eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perverse things. You can talk to the police officers in the church tonight, and they'll tell you that a great majority of the calls they go, where there's domestic violence, where there's fighting in the streets, is also involving drugs and alcohol. And I'm just simply saying tonight, I know I'm old-fashioned in the matter of being whatever they call it, a teetotaler, but I believe America would be much better off without alcohol tonight. So oftentimes you hear Christians saying, well, I just believe that you can have some if you want. Again, you can use your liberty according to the flesh if you like. But what about by love serving one another? I'm often conscious of the fact when we have new Christians into our home, as we often do, that many of them have never been in a Christian home. And they've never been in a garage that doesn't have girly posters. They've never been in a house that might have the Ten Commandments posted. They've never seen a refrigerator without alcohol. They've never heard a wife say, sweetheart, can I get you something? They've never seen a husband be kind and gracious to his wife. Don't you think when they come to a Christian home, it ought to be different? Don't you know that some people are struggling to get off of alcohol? The last thing they need is to see it in the pastor's refrigerator. Did you know there's a principle called limiting your liberty? And that is to say, so that I would not be a stumbling block for someone else, there are some things that I'm going to limit in my everyday life so that I would be a right testimony. So the Bible says, be not drunk with wine. And the Lord is using this contrast to help believers understand what it really means to be controlled by the Spirit. Notice, there is not only a determined purpose, but secondly, there is a yielded purpose. For the Bible says in verse 18, be not drunk with wine when is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. But be filled with the Spirit. The word but is a contrasting conjunction. And here we see the contrast between one that is filled with alcohol and one that is filled with the Spirit. And the word be filled, as we have seen over the years, speaks not only of a liberal supply, but we also are reminded of the fact that it is to be in the continuous sense of filling. It's something that we should constantly desire. And I preach this message tonight after last week's message on dying to self, because there's no way that we'll be filled with the Spirit if we're filled with self. And the fact is that we often are filled with self without even realizing it. And we think, why do I have to do that? And I have my rights. And without even realizing it, we become filled with self to the point that there's no way the Holy Spirit can fill us because we're so filled with self. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine or excess, but be filled with the Spirit. When a Christian is fully under the control of the Holy Spirit, then he will be fully furnished and supplied to do the work of God in his life. Now, the key is obeying the commandment to be filled. That is to yield to the Holy Spirit, that God may have full control in our life. Now, turn back quickly to Romans 6, and let's just look at one principle that we learned last week for just a moment. Romans 6:13. We are to be yielded in our purpose of being filled with the Spirit. But notice Romans 6:13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And so God wants our lives to be completely yielded to Him, yielded unto Him for the purpose of righteousness. Hence, be not drunk with wine, whereby my body, my life, is under the influence and control of a foreign substance, whereby I may say or do things that would dishonor God. God says in opposition to this, He wants us to be filled with His Spirit. Now, every one of us at the moment of salvation receive the Holy Spirit of God. For the Bible says in John chapter 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Every Christian possesses the Holy Spirit, but not every Christian is possessed of the Holy Spirit. Any truly born-again person possesses the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit in you, but it is quite different to be possessed of the Holy Spirit or under the control of the Holy Spirit. For many Christians are very carnally minded. They are very proudful in their spirit. They are filled with their own thoughts, with their own natural ways. They are not dead to self. They are very much alive to self. While they may still be saved, they are not going to have the power of God upon their lives unless they are seeking the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God in their life. And so the Bible says here, be filled with the Spirit. Andrew Murray said, men ought to seek with their whole hearts to be filled with the Spirit of God. Without being filled with the Spirit, it is utterly impossible that an individual Christian or church can ever live or work as God desires. Take, for example, the matter of witnessing. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You see, without the Spirit's presence, there was no power. And may I say, without the Spirit's presence, there is no power. I watch men who at one time, God blessed them in their preaching and in their soul winning and in their outreach, and it seemed to be an abundance of fruit. And then there can come a time when they think, well, I have arrived and I've been here this long and I have this much authority and I know this much. And we begin to rely on self and on the flesh. Not nearly as many people are saved when that Spirit comes into our lives, because people aren't saved because of what we know or how long we've been somewhere. They are only going to be saved as we are completely yielded to the Holy Spirit and as God is working through His instruments by His Spirit. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And so we must resist that tendency to revert to the means and to rely upon the flesh. And we see this phrase, be filled with the Spirit. It is in the imperative mood. In other words, it is not a suggestion tonight. This verse that I preached to you tonight is not God's suggestion to His church. It is God's command to His church. Be filled with the Spirit. In fact, anything less than the fullness of the Spirit is disobedience to God. And so, my friend, when we are living according to the dictates of our own heart, when we are unable to forgive, when we are unable to somehow express the love or the joy or the peace of God, we've got to be the ones to step back and repent and say, Lord, I've become filled with myself, my thought, my worry, my ambition. And Lord, I want to confess and forsake that. And I want to yield to Your Spirit and be completely filled and controlled by Your Spirit. It is also a passive verb. That means that being filled with the Spirit is not something that we do. It is something that is done for us. You see, it's not that I can say, okay, I'm filled with the Spirit. That's not how it works. I can repent of sin. I can be emptied of self. I can yield to the Holy Spirit, but it is God that fills with His Holy Spirit. It is something that is done by the hand and by the blessing of God. And so there is a Spirit-filled path, and it is the path of circumspect living. It is the path of sanctified living. And a man or a woman that would be Spirit-filled must walk circumspectly. He must be wise and understand what the will of the Lord is, and that is his sanctification. That would be the pathway of the Spirit-filled life. And the purpose of the Spirit-filled life is seen very clearly in this simple fact that God commands us that we would be filled with the Spirit, that is to say, be yielded in order that He might have His way with us, that He might endue us with power and with wisdom, and that He might give to us that anointing that we must have in order to live the everyday Christian life that is truly the normal Christian life. It is the Spirit-filled Christian life. And so there is a path. It's a circumspect path.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you are interested in watching Pastor Chappell preach live during a Lancaster Baptist Church service, you can now log on to lbclive.tv Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11, or Sunday evenings at 5 Pacific Standard Time. Pastor Chappell, along with the Lancaster Baptist Church Choir, Orchestra, and Media Team, will present
Jesus Saves, a captivating narrative about the life and death of Jesus on Saturday, March 26th at 6 p.m. and Sunday, March 27th at 8:30 and 11 a.m. We invite you to be our guest and to experience Easter like never before. You can find out more about this event when you visit lancasterbaptist.org. As a companion to today's series, we are offering Dr. Chappell's newest book entitled Renew, 90 Days of Spiritual Refreshment. This beautiful, hardback, 90-day devotional guide will encourage you to seek God's face and renew your heart in His Word. Each devotion includes a scripture passage and provides an encouraging truth regarding your walk with the Lord. It's yours when you make a donation to this broadcast ministry. You can order it by calling 1-800-201-7748 or by requesting a copy at dailyintheword.org. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.